to be inspired through authentic conversations that is sure to be
on everyone's lips.
Welcome everyone to On Everyone's Lips. We are so happy you guys chose to listen to us. My name is Lindsay J.
My name is Chelsea Jade.
My name is Monique, aka Mo, and we are the ladies of OEL.
Yes, and so we're going to get into today's topic. The title of today's topic is Kids, Athletics, and Politics of the Game. And we have quite a few guests with us that will be sharing in on today's topic. And we're going to give them time to introduce themselves. First, we have TJ. Go ahead and introduce.
What's going on, y'all? Thank you for having me on here. But I coach 12U Playmakers Elite, former high school coach for one of the best teams in the state of Virginia. That's it.
Jaquay.
Hello, everybody. My name's Jaquay. I'm a parent. A teen mom and a former athlete myself. I grew up playing travel softball, and I was a cheerleader.
That's good.
Timothy.
Hello, everybody. My name is Timothy Peoples. I'm a street ball legend from the mean streets of North Carolina. I coach high school, and I also do 13U and 10U.
Okay.
All righty.
Andrea.
Hello, everyone. My name is Andrea, and I was a wannabe basketball player one time, but I am a parent, and I have assisted in some plays. Didn't go too well, but I have been called an assistant.
Love it. And we have Derek Filson.
Hello, everyone. My name is Derek Filson, a.k.a. Suge D. Filson. My friends still call me that, so I keep that. So I have an extensive history with athletics. I played, participated in a lot of sports, basketball, football, ex-professional boxer. Actually, I'm an ex-high school basketball coach, one of the worst high school teams in the District of Columbia, Spingarn High School. at that time, and I actually am an ex referee for football as well.
We have Bruce.
Good afternoon. I'm Bruce Hawker. I'm a coach. I'm a parent. I currently coach in a WCAC football. Also coach a 707 program, which is currently right now my 17 elite group is currently 17th in the nation. I have a 15 elite group where we're just coming from a tournament now. We finished in Elite Eight. I've played on every level. I've seen some success. And I'm pretty sure I got a little bit of knowledge behind what I'm going to say as far as what the topics are today. I also got one of my close friends, my brother for life. I've known him since high school. His name is Colin Nelson. I'm going to let him go ahead and introduce himself.
How y'all doing? Also, you know, Bruce is being a little modest. He said he's seen some success. He's actually a college All-American, also played in the NFL. So just want to know, we have royalty in our midst for today. but I'm Colin Nelson, as he said. Former high school teammate with Bruce. I played collegiate, played at University of Maryland, played arena football as well. Now I currently train. I don't really have the time to coach full time, but I train and I also will coach 707.
Rodney.
Hey everyone, I'm Rodney Allen. I played a lot of ball growing up, played a lot of basketball, football, volleyball. My kids played in the PG County Circuit, where at that particular time, I'm not sure what's going on there now, but that particular time, PG County was it, you know what I mean, as far as the athletes. And so, my daughter, she played college ball and, you know, just a coach, assistant, assisted her basketball team, AAU basketball team, and just a coach, a parent, and just I got knowledge of the game inside and out.
Mo, do you want to get into how we kind of got around to this topic?
Yes. This topic came about, thank you to Rodney Allen. You know, we were talking about sports and, you know, his kids have played sports and all the PG County circuits. And so he was like, Monique, you should do a show on this. And I was like, okay. And so I talked to my ladies here and we were talking about, kids in sports, the different events that have happened in sports, like far as like in Little League sports, there have been, you know, some hostility and one coach got killed in Dallas. And we were talking about that, but it's more than just that. But, you know, we were talking about that and all the current events centering around kids and sports. And so we just felt like it would be a great topic. And Rodney Allen led the way on the suggestion. And so we finally got it to fruition. We've been talking about it for a couple of months. So it feels so good to have this, have your panel of everybody here, and we can have this discussion, a much, you know, needed and very informative discussion.
Yeah. So we're going to start off with asking Coach TJ, why did you become a coach, and why did you become a coach first?
Good question. I became a coach because my football career ended kind of early, and I feel like I had a lot to give. And also throughout the years, you kind of see how youth sports or sports in general kind of transition towards more media, more marketing. And sometimes you get away from, you know, what football or what sports in general kind of really is. That's like working with each team, you know, just a whole bunch of teamwork. So I just kind of felt like we was kind of losing that in our area. So I just feel like I came back and, you know, just wanted to teach some of the youth about, you know, what sports is like at the next level. Because again, I didn't say this earlier, but I did play college ball too. So just wanted to, you know, I feel like I had a lot of knowledge to give back to the kids. So that's one reason why I became a coach.
And any other coaches want to?
I think Timothy's a coach.
We want to hear.
Speak on that, Timothy, why you became a coach?
Sure. Yeah, I started coaching mainly. I forgot to say that I'm a parent too, but figure I cover that. But I started coaching because I wanted my oldest son to, you know, really get into team sports, because there's a lot of life lessons you can learn from team sports. It's not just about winning or losing or getting your skills together. It's about making friends, working together, communication. It really helped me. I had a lot of trouble in my past. Wasn't real liked or anything. And sports was really my outlet. So, yeah, that's why I started coaching, because I figured it would really help my son. And he has grown immensely because of it.
And I would like to hear from the parents as to why you decide to enroll your child in sports on the other hand of that.
You want to start with Jaquay? You want to speak on that?
Sure, I'll jump in. So like I said, I grew up as an athlete. My brothers were athletes as well. And so I saw the value in how it develops well-rounded character. And that's really important to me. We're also a very competitive family. And so if you want to fit in our squad, then you got to be competitive in some. And so for those two reasons, wanting to make sure that my kids have the opportunity to be well-rounded, but also it's a family value for us.
Andrea, you want to go next and speak on your experience with your kids being in sports and you helping with coaching?
Sure. Yeah. So just to kind of, you know, clear the air here, Timothy is my ex-husband. So basically what he said, you know, honestly, I didn't think it was a great idea for our son. Our son, he has ADHD, and all the educators and the therapists said that he should be in things that don't require any type of contact. So we had him in swimming, we had him in karate, and thank God for Timothy, you know, really thinking this through and him challenging me beginning to let our son, play basketball. Now, Timothy was his first coach, but that first game was very stressful for me because everybody had told me not to put him in any type of contact sport. He needed sports where it was just him. So it was mainly, seriously, just for our oldest son to, as Timothy said, to develop those communication skills and, you know, to help with his. He would have, explosive kind of fits sometimes when things didn't go his way. And as Timothy said, he has grown remarkably. So what the educators and the therapists told me not to do, thank God I had a husband, you know, at the time that, you know, could dig deeper and, you know, push me to let him join the sport of basketball.
It's good. It's good. Anyone else want to tackle?
Yeah, I'm going to chime in. It's not really what I wanted the kids to do, is what they gravitated to. So it's in my family's bloodline of playing, of balling, you know. So my uncle played ball, my aunt, my cousin, you know, my aunt, the one that taught me how to play in down in West Virginia. So it's just in my in the bloodline. So they gravitated to basketball. My son played football, and I just try to help and encourage them the best I could.
That's good. That's a good. I want to comment on that point because it's good to let the child gravitate to the sport. So to make sure they know that that's something they want to do. And, you know, it's not just the parent pushing the child to play. So I think it's good to have that balance. Anybody else want to weigh in?
Yeah, I got into coaching in part because being an ex-athlete myself. But when I first started coaching, I started coaching a group of kids that was special needs and chronic illnesses. We had a program that's called the YAP program that was specifically for children with disabilities. However, it was an inclusion program that all kids, kids with all abilities could participate as well. So it wasn't really competitive sports. So we just understood how to deal with kids that was in a wheelchair and from ADHD was part of it, but we had kids that couldn't walk or talk, was nonverbal as well. But they learned to communicate, to play, again, not competitive sports, but sports. And then from there, I went to coaching in high school, as I mentioned. It was a thing for me that was more like mentoring, because I could think back to the days when I was a kid, we had mentors from the Girls and Boys Club that really added an element to my life as it relates to, like, just enriching my life, you know, and taking me away from some negative influences. So for me, it was more so as a mentorship. And then I later learned that I wasn't, as a coach and a referee, you don't just really mentor the kids, you mentor the parents also.
That's good.
Good point.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
That's a good point of how it can keep kids out of, you know, out of bad activities. If you
yes.
have them in something positive, then after school, you know, it keeps them from running around and you know, not getting into things. So I think that's a good point.
It's good.
Bruce, did you want to chime in? Or Colin? Okay. We'll move on to the next
And
next
anyone
question.
Can come in and answer the question. Like, it's not, you know.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
My apologies. My mute wasn't coming off.
Okay.
I became a coach because I'm a parent first. So I have a 17-year-old. I had my oldest son when I was a sophomore in college. Freshman in college, and he currently lives in Pennsylvania. The reason why I coach now is because I don't have him on a daily basis. So essentially what I can give to these kids, I'll tell you truthfully, I would selfishly give it to my child. But because I have the opportunity, because God has blessed me with the opportunity with this experience that I have, and how I think one gentleman referenced sports and life how I look at sports as a microcosm to life. That's where my true guidance and servant to, I think, the Lord is. The reason why, another reason why, is because growing up, especially in the 90s and early 2000s, we had a lot of coaches in that time, in that age range where they couldn't tell us the why.
Absolutely agree.
That's what could criticize us. Excuse me, take it back. They wouldn't even constructionally, criticize us. They would just criticize us. They telling us we're doing something wrong, but can't tell me why.
Agree.
So I got myself to a platform and got myself to a place where, again, I had my cup of coffee in the NFL, and I got as far as I could before my body told me I couldn't do it anymore, and before I was ready to move on and transition on to my life. Because, side note, there's one thing my daddy always said, God rest his soul, he told me not to coach until I was done playing. Because that passion, that fire, that streak, that as a man, that testosterone that you have is different when you still got that fire inside of you to still play. So now I have, and with all that testosterone, where you lack is patience. So as a coach now, being 37 years old, I have the patience and the experience to look at a child in his face and let him know, my man, my brother, my sister, my son, my daughter, I've been everywhere you've been. I've seen everything you've seen. And I have the ability to give you the answers in a why. And because this society is so microwave, because they think they get all the answers at their fingertips, because they got Instagram, all this social media that shows them the outcome but doesn't show them the grind, I became that coach to make sure I gave you the alphabets in between A and Z. Nobody sees what you do in the dark, especially nowadays. But that darkness, that grind that you put in for that 24/7 is that microcosm to life, that when you're done playing sports, you understand that grind that it takes for you to be successful as an adult. And you understand what happens when you face adversity, because the analogy, when you face adversity on the field, or you got three downs or you got four downs and you got to punt the ball on fourth for your defense to come out there and defend your end zone, and then for them to get the ball back and for you to try to score again, that's just a microcosm for success. How can I get back to it? How can I tackle the adverse situations that I had yesterday? And we chip away by getting three yards, 6 yards, first down, until you find that touchdown, and then you reach that touchdown and you get that success, that all of a sudden, like, damn, this is how good it feels to score. How can I score again? And that's why I'm here. Like, that's why I coach, because anything and everything I do, I can correlate it to life.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's good. Yep.
You got something to say.
So
yeah. Yeah.
So I do want to get back to Rodney's point of him saying, you know, how his kids gravitated to the sport. So would you all say that your children are passionate about the sport? And as coaches, would you feel like your experience with the children while coaching, do you feel like they're passionate about the sport, or do you feel like it's more so parents pushing them to play the sport because of their own passions?
Yeah, that's a good question. I always wonder if coaches can notice that. Like,
yeah, that's
can
good.
When a kid isn't passionate about it.
Can I share real quick on that?
Yes.
And I'll try not to be long. I believe it's a little bit of both, actually. It's not really a pendulum scale balance, but the kids are there. A lot of the kids want to play because their peers play. And, you know, or kids play in Tampa with a lot of sports, but as it relates to football in general, the kids want to compete, but you do have a lot of parents that push their kids because of their past experience or just the whole big top dream of it all, and their fulfillment of it. And I'm gonna share one of my experiences. Remember earlier I said, I realized that I just wasn't coaching and mentoring kids. I got a chance to mentor parents as well. And there were some kids, young kids, and during the play, it was a running play, but on the sideline, when you coach, you stand near the line, the side judge, and there was a wide receiver and a cornerback. And they never, neither one of them, the wide receiver didn't run out for a pass or block, and the cornerback didn't defend him, didn't check him. And of course, they was near the sideline, and I say, "You guys need to move. What you guys doing?" And one kid turned to me and say, "Sir, when we finish this, are we going to go get pizza?" And I looked at him, and I said, "Man, I don't know. You got to ask your parents." Those kids was not interested in being out there tackling and running and falling on the ground. And you turn around, you hear the parents hollering, screaming, and yelling. And, you know, and even as an official, you know, most, and not all parents, but most of the parents out there, these games are on the weekends or during the high school game during the week. It's not Sunday like the NFL. And you have to talk to them sometimes. And it's the way you got to engage them. You know, you can't fuss and scream at them because they're screaming at you. But I've had a conversation with parents and say, "Sir or ma'am, this is not Sunday football. This is not the NFL. Your son can't do this or that during this game, on this level. This ain't Sunday," you know? And sometimes they don't understand that, right? So, you know, you could pull them to the side and they say, you throw a flag because of this. I say, "No." "You threw a flag on them." I say, "No." I walk in and say, "Hey, y'all lined up off sides, back up." Because it's a level of teaching them. Because there could be a flag thrown on every play, really. But you walk in and say, "Hey, you in the neutral zone, back up." Or you moving a little bit, you know. And I don't want to get into the commander's thing about the receiver asked the referee, was he lined up right and all that. Because so many people had misconceptions about that. But I know the truth about that because I experienced that. But anyway, you get both. To answer your question, you get both.
If I could jump in real quick, we have two sons. Me and Timothy have two sons together. And as we told you about our oldest, it's more for social skills development. But I also have a baby boy that's got the build and everything. And he is passionate about the sport. He watches it with his dad. He talks about it. He teaches me all the plays. He's very, very good, too. So we've got one kid that loves it. He's going for it. Now, he's a little bit on the... His nickname, well, let's just say he's a little bit more on the relaxed side. Let me just say that. Where his dad, I'm trying to get his dad. In fact, I called his dad and said, "Look, this is parent to coach. I've got somebody with some skills. I need you to get this boy moving." You know, he loves it. He's passionate about it. He's good, but he's not working out like he should be. So I called Timothy as a parent and said, "Look, coach, teach this boy. I need him out there. Force him out there to work out with you." And I'll let Timothy speak on what he felt about pushing our youngest son.
Thanks for that. I do see a mix of both, like the gentleman said earlier. But my whole philosophy is that I want my kids to do something, but I don't want to force them to be great. I want it so bad to be great. I want it so bad to be an athlete, but God just didn't bless me with that. So I don't want to put that on my kids to where I live vicariously through them, where I'm like, "Oh, you need to do this, you need to do that." So yes, it is sometimes where I'll look at my kids and say, "Okay, you want to practice today?" "No, I don't feel like practicing." "Okay, we don't have to work out." Because I don't want it ever to be my dad forced me to be a basketball player or to be this or to be that. You know, if they want to do it, I'm great. Now, I have a lot of other kids I coach that are all for that. So, yeah, the reason why I didn't push our youngest son was that, yeah, he wants to be in spirit, but he doesn't want to do like the Bruce said, the A to Z. He just want to get from A to Z. So I had to explain to him that if you want to get to Z, you have to do these things, and he's not really for it. So, I've started to do it more since his mom asked me to, but, yeah, I'm just not into the forcing kids to, you know, be great because I wanted it and I never was great. So.
That's funny that you bring that up, because even with my daughter, I struggle with that too, because she would say she want to be in an activity, and then it's like, well, you know, she'll do it for a little bit, and then it's like, well, I don't really like to do that anymore. And for me, that was a struggle, because it's like, on one hand, I want to teach you how to stick through it. Like, once you start something, you need to finish it. So it's like the battle between, okay, do I force her to continue to do this activity because you need to learn how to stick with something? Or is it like, okay, if she's not going to be passionate about it, or she doesn't feel like I don't like it anymore after I've tried it, do I just allow her to not do it? So I could see how for a parent that could be a struggle, because it's like, no, you need to stick with it. You start something, this is how you follow through. But then it's like, I don't want to continue to force you to do anything, you know? So.
Yeah, that's kind of a touchy
and,
subject.
If I could jump in really quick. This is Colin, y'all. As being a trainer, I know one of the telltale signs that I use to determine if the parent or the kid wants it more is whoever I'll develop a relationship with, right? If the parent is more involved, we'll have more of the conversations, and they'll tell me, this is what I want him to do, and this is how I want him to do, and this is what he did. However, if the kid is more into it, a lot of the times he'll tell me, he'll come up to me and ask me questions, and we'll exchange information. Hey, coach, hey, take a look at this play. How did I do here? You know what I mean? He'll kind of be more into it. And also what I find, I guess parents may feel a little anxious if they don't see their child really stepping up and being at the forefront, so they'll start to overcompensate, right? And then their parent-child relationship will start to kind of go bad, because a lot of the times the kids just want the parents to be their parent. You know what I mean? And I've seen situations where a kid will lose love for the game because of how overbearing the parent is.
That's good.
Yeah, Colin.
That's kind of that's actually kind of big in like youth sports right now. Parents kind of pushing their kids to play sports. Depending on what sport, I'm just speaking on the football standpoint. I feel like parents shouldn't force their kids to play certain sports, especially like football, because by it being a physical sport and you can possibly put other kids in danger by your kid not really wanting to be there and not really fit for the game. As I've been coaching, man, I've seen it multiple years, to where parents out there pushing their kids and their kids getting hurt, and then they wonder why we're not playing them. And, you know, then when you put the kid back in, he's still not doing what he's supposed to. He's still crying. Then we got to go through with the parents. And then it's low, you know, so it's kind of like forcing your kid to play certain sports, especially like physical sports. Man, I think that's kind of a little bit too much. But again, I'm not a parent just yet. Well, yeah, man, forcing your kids to play sports, man, especially football, man, I think that's kind of one of those big no-nos, man.
I'm sorry, brother. No, go ahead and finish it. I'm sorry.
No, I just kind of think they should wait till they get to a certain age, because at a certain age, you know, if a kid want to play sports. One of my old partners, man, that actually he's a former Giant. Super Bowl winner. He actually didn't start sports until his ninth grade year. He came out when he was, his first year was, I'm sorry, when he was 8 years old. Didn't like it. Ended up coming back his freshman year in high school, ended up being one of the top players in the state of Virginia. So sometimes you kind of got to let the kid grow, and a kid will eventually say, you know, I want to do it. So, yeah, that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, so it's a couple different things. Like, and I agree with what everyone said. Like, again, I coach in what the United States and what the blogs say is the second highest conference in the nation, right? Where you got guys who are in these certain schools for a reason, and one reason only. And at the end of the day, when they go home, they go back to their problems, right? So you got guys like that. You also got guys who come from legacy in these situations. And then lastly, you got the guys with the parents who wanted more than them. And that becomes the ultimate nuisance, because those parents that wanted more than them, they end up
making me more of the parent than the coach. And I become more of the counselor than the coach. And now, because I know on the way home, mom is cursing them out because they thought they saw something wrong. So when they come back to practice the next day, they don't have that same enthusiasm because it goes back to something else. I forgot who said it just now, that once you start something or once you want to do something, you have to finish it. We believe in finishing what we started. So if my child, my daughter, my middle daughter, I got three boys and a girl, she runs track. She's really, really good at track. She's only 9 years old. And she came to me like, Daddy, I want to run track. So in my head, being a football player, the way I was raised, now, if you want to run track, baby, you got to do this my way. Are you sure? Yes, Daddy, I want to run track. Are you positive? Yes, Daddy, I want to run track. Okay, now it's time to go. Me and you, let's go to the track. Now, if you understand that grind and you're willing to do that grind, then by all means, it's for you. But if I'm forcing you to get up in the morning, like i.e. my oldest at one point, I used to force him to get up in the morning and he struggled with it, then it may be not for you. But you cannot want it before, you cannot want it more than your child. And that's the biggest part that you deal with, because I tell Rodney this the other day. My child is very, like my oldest, different mom. He's a 4.2 GPA kid. He's the youth pastor in his AME church. He does a lot of things outside of sports that I'm extremely proud of. So if you want to play football, which is a very, very violent but voluntary sport, I deal with guys every day who's looking for a way to get their family out of a situation. And if you're coming on that field and you really don't feel like you need it, or you really don't feel like you want to do it, that's when you get hurt. Because somebody like me, when I grew up, because I grew up on the other side of that, the one who tried to get his family out, I smelled blood, especially in that violent era that I played in. I smelled blood. I'm going to try to, for lack of a better words, demolish you. And you don't want to put your child in that situation. It's very, very crucial for you to understand and see those signs as a parent.
Is that the danger she was talking about, DJ?
That's exactly the danger I'm talking about. I still have people to this day. Go ahead, Jiwe.
No. I was just going to say that in my family, my husband and I require our kids to participate in an activity every season. And we do have the expectation of finishing what you started and honoring the commitment, but we don't impose our expectations on our kids, which means that your commitment may look different. So maybe you signed up for something that you didn't realize what you signed up for. You're still going to go out and practice with your team, even if you're not competing. We haven't gotten to that experience yet because both of my kids are super athletic. And have honored their commitments. But at the end of the day, that's the way that we see it. As a teen mom, though, I do see the whole parents forcing their kids to do things. And I have been part of conversations where I've talked with coaches about how it's compromising the safety of other kids. And one of the things that we think about as parents is we impose our own selves on our kids, right? So our expectations are that our kids execute at a certain they practice at a certain level, and that's not always aligned with where the child is developmentally, emotionally, socially, all of those things. And so you'll see that. But it's also about the level, right? Like I'm a part of a team that's a competitive travel team. You can still play football. Your kid just may not be ready for this level of football. So what happens is, because of the name, because of the skill that, comes with this level of football, whatever it is, and people sign their kids up for our team. And then they're mad when their kid doesn't get in. It creates all of these conflicts. You know, we have a team where you don't necessarily always play. There are some kids that never hit the field on our team because they're not ready for this level of play. But we have parents who sign their kids up every single year.
here regardless of that knowledge, and it really set their kid back because their kid's not really learning anything because they don't get the opportunity to execute. Now, practice is where you develop, and so yes, they're continuing to develop, but they're not benefiting from that level when they're not prepared for it. It's like putting a kid in an AP class that isn't even performing at mainstream level. And so we see that all the time, especially on our team, and it really sets the kids back. It messes with their self-esteem. The other kids tease them because they don't know any better. So it creates interpersonal conflicts, and it also creates team conflicts.
You know, I love that real quick, the honoring the commitment, but making sure you're checking your expectations. I love that because that's like, you know, you signed up, you play for this season, but if you don't like it, you don't have to do it again next season. But we're going to push through and complete this.
Get your money's worth.
Yeah.
Yes. You ain't about to pay for a season and you only about to play for a week because you are tired.
And speaking of expectations of like coaches and the kids and things, I can imagine that when you're a coach, and I'm sure TJ, you have this experience. I was curious on how you navigate, I guess, the different types of attitudes that you have to deal with children, because I can imagine that if you, you know, different children are going to have different motivations. So you may have to coach one child this way. So how do you guys navigate that? Like, okay, this child seems to be, you know, easier to coach. They've, you know, and this other one, I got to put a little bit more pressure. I got to, you know.
So I just feel like as a coach, you got to know your personnel. Sometimes you just got to really tap into the kids. It's, for an example, we have a kid on our team that have a disability. And when he first joined our team, every day it was a fight with him. He's swinging on the coaches. He's saying all these verbal words out of his mouth towards the coaches. But I know when I joined to be a youth coach, I said I would never quit on a kid. I would do my best to make sure that a kid would learn, he'd get the most out of me. So as we was going on, you know, just got to pretty much just tap in with him, try to find a soft spot, get closer to him, and find out how, you know, you can find out his strong points and his weak points and try to attack his weak points to make him feel, pretty much make him feel comfortable. But I say that to say, you know, different, it's, you gotta pretty much as a coach know your personnel. Once you learn your personnel, know who's on your team, know the type of kids that you're dealing with. You know, you can pretty much go from there. Just like having a simple conversation. A lot of coaches can't relate to a lot of kids. And that's why I feel like a lot of coaches fail at, because you can't relate to them. And by me being, you know, mid-30s now, starting in the late 20s, kind of relate to a lot of these kids and to the parents. So it's easy to tap into the kids and, you know, find out, you know, make them laugh, make them joke. And once you can get to that point, man, it's pretty much, coaching is pretty much easy from there.
What about for you guys, for parents? Like, what are your expectations as far as, like, the coaches telling you, okay, well, your child, I feel like they need to work more on this? Like, or is that something that you're like, well, make sure you do that with my kid. Like, talk to them about it. Or is it more so like, no, I want you to come to me first and tell me what's going on. Like, check-ins and things like that with your child's progress. How do parents feel about that?
I'm going to speak on that real quick. When we first introduced ourselves, it was more for me about my past experience as an athlete and fisherman and all that. But it led me to speak on my professional career, which is a paramedical. I actually work every day, 7 days a week, as a parent resource specialist. And what I want to say about all this, it taps right into was relevant, is that I talk to parents every day about we have parents, and we are our parents' sons and daughters, but we are not their choices. And as a parent and a coach, it's a strong responsibility that we have to recognize what I call teachable moments. Whether you're coaching a kid, where you're recognizing their behavior patterns or their abilities. Same thing with parents. You know, we as a parent is responsible for recognizing those teachable moments. We can want whatever we want, but we are not our kids' choices. They have their own choices. And as it relates to the ages and stages of life, it's up to us to recognize these things that they are becoming aware of. You know, sports is one thing because that's the topic. But after the sporting activity, these kids go home. Someone said it, you know, and you have to talk to the parents. Again, you mentor the kids and the parents. I have five kids. And when I first had my oldest daughter, I wanted to be the best parent in the world, but I knew nothing about parenting. You know, I thought that a father is supposed to be just like a coach, a protector and a provider. But it's more to it than that, right? There's four with kids that we coach and kids that we raise as our own. There's four primary care needs of a kid. You know, the social element is what we provide as coaches. The emotional component, the physical component, and then ethics. A coach, just like a parent, is responsible for giving his kids all those four elements of life. And that don't make you a good or bad coach if you do or don't do it. But for some of us, we know that that's how you could talk a parent off of a ledge. Same way you could talk a kid into playing harder. It's a few things that happens with you and the kid when you coach them. When you holler at a kid, that kid gonna do either one or two things for you. He's gonna run for you or he's gonna run from you. So you have to deal with these kids in a swift pace, kind of individually, but if you got them in a group, you explain things to them where they cry out for help, right? If I'm talking directly to three kids, but all the kids around, I know that some of these other kids hear it and they need to hear it also. So you could do it indirectly or directly with the kid. Same thing with the parent, for y'all parents.
So, as a parent of a soon-to-be 3-year-old, I do look forward to my child in hopes that he wants to play sports. However, also being alongside TJ as his significant other, I've had a chance to attend games and see many different things from the sideline, coaching aspect and, you know, things of that nature. So I see how some parents, I would feel like they're a little too harsh when it comes to, like, during the game. And I see how kids can get distracted while the game is going on when their parents is constantly nagging at them during the game. It's very annoying, in my opinion. It's almost as if the parent kind of want to be the coach, or you see some instances where if they not getting their way, the child not getting no play time, then they might want to go switch to another organization. So I say this to say, how do you decide what organization is best for, or what coach, I guess, is best for your child?
From a coach's perspective, it all depends on, again, so what we do is we normally have trainings or, you know, with the work, I coach with Playmakers Elite, if you guys don't know. We're one of the best, the best organization in Virginia. so we're pretty known for, how skillful we are as far as coaches and our teams. So, I mean, you pretty much know as a parent what you're getting yourself into. That's how you pretty much know whether or not your child should be there. Again, somebody said something earlier, just want to be, I think it was Jaquay, just want to be involved with the brand. But again, that's how, you know, get your kid hurt. You pretty much push your kid away from the game. Sometimes it's good to start at a lower level, then work your way up. But
do they know that? You're saying some parents should, like, parents should know, but do they really know that, or they just want to go with whatever team is popping? Majority of time, that seems like that's what it is. We're going to go whatever team has the most wins and is well popular in the area.
I mean, I feel like they should know that. do they know that? I mean, I can't answer that question. They should know that. I mean, it's in your face. And what we do as far, I can speak for my team, we try to be as transparent as possible. When we get to a certain level, we end up telling the parents, like, hey, I don't think, you know, this is going to work out for your kid. This is where he needs more improvement. This is where he is good at. We'll provide them with some other resources where he can go to get either more training with us or with other trainers, or pretty much connect them with other organizations or leagues that are pretty much, you know, helping develop them. We do develop all also, but you know, we just at a certain level to where if you develop with us, it's a pretty much chance you can get hurt, you know, and it's demanding. We practice on the off season, four times a week, Jigway? If not more, we travel, and it gets expensive. So you got to understand what are you getting yourself into.
That's a lot, four times a week.
Yeah, that is a lot.
Parents, how did you determine what was best for your, like, who was the best coaches and best organization for your child?
Go ahead, Rodney, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, I can speak for me and Andrea's children. I feel that personally, kids should be in developmental leagues, at least for my children. They should be in developmental leagues until they get high school. I'm not big on competitive or AAU below the high school level, because kids have a lot more room to grow. They have a lot more that they can become. And we get stuck if we get on a competitive. I've seen it where kids get on a competitive team and they get stuck in a position, especially in basketball. Mm-hmm. Like my youngest son, we were talking about, he's tall. So he's taller than every kid he's going to be around. And when I switched him from a center to a point guard, he didn't like that. He was like, I'm a center. And I'm like, you are too young to be led into a position, because let's say, you know, you don't grow anymore and you become smaller. Now you need to have guard skills. You need to have other skills where you're not in the NBA. So your position shouldn't be defined already. So I think what I look for my kids is up until they get to high school, I'm looking for developmental leagues where they can work on the basics, they can get their skills together, they can get playing time, they can just get better. And then when you get at high school, because I tell my kids, even the kids I coach, when you're under the high school level, we're not about winning and losing, we're about getting better. You have your whole life to be told you're a loser, so you don't need to start that at 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old.
I like that.
So that's just me personally. For our kids, we wait till they get to high school before, you know, we decide to get into competitive or travels or something like that. And if he stays on the track, I need to get your phone number, man, because might be sending him over there to you.
And if I could just jump in real quick with Timothy, they've been hovering for AAU for our youngest son. And I ran to Timothy. He was like, they want us for AAU. And he was like, yeah, tell him to go away. So I trust, thank God, I have an amazing father, an ex-husband, and a friend that I just let him, I don't even jump in. I make suggestions, but I let him make the final decision on our boys.
That's good.
Can I ask a question? Ready? Somebody? Oh,
yeah. I was gonna chime in real quick. I think what was big for me and my kids is that as long as the coach was transparent, was honest with the child and myself, you know, everything would work out. But you got some coaches that's on separate agendas. That you know, that's not always the case. You know, so my daughter, just like I said, my son, he left a lot of money on the table. You know what I mean? He could have been really good in football, but you know, his grades was a factor and his behavior in school. But as far as my daughter, she was a, you know, honor roll student and, you know, scholar or whatever like that. But she made it up to the college. She played her first year in college. And then after that, the politics of the game, it wore her down, you know, as far as, you know, the coach she had, the coach that brought her in, she left and went to another team. And so she was stuck with a coach there that had no experience. She might have had, she had probably more experience coaching than her own college coach. So stuff like that, you know, it just, you know, it wore her down. And so, you know, but I wish I would have had her on here so she could spoke on the every aspect of what we talking about, the kids, athletics, and the politics of the game. And I think we, you know, as coaching and parents, you know, we have to get into it, get into talking about that more, a lot more.
That's a good thing that you said about the politics, because that's one thing about youth sports now, is politics. I think a lot of parents get caught up on wanting to post their kids on social media and have something to talk about. And that's where a lot goes wrong. You know, speaking from our perspective, whatever. I see parents all day going back and forth about, you know, my son play on this team does this, and that. They posted pictures. They just want to be a part of that conversation instead of just being more transparent to their child and saying, hey, let's just start here first. You know, let's work our way on here. And they don't want to have those conversations. So they leave that to, you know, people like us, the coaches, to have those conversations. Kind of sometimes it is uncomfortable, but you want to be more realistic to the kids. You don't want to lead them down the wrong path. So, but I did want to ask Jaquay this question. For y'all, for some of you guys that don't know, Jaquay is our team mom. yeah, her son, Kanoa, has been on our team since, I want to say, 7, 8 years old. But Jaquay, what gave you guys the idea for you guys to join our team? Oh, where you thought Kanoa was at the time that to say, hey, I think Kanoa can play for us.
So a couple things. So for you all that don't know, Kanoa's a big boy. He's always been bigger than everybody else. He started off playing flag football, I think at 3. Then we went on a county ball, and he was just dominated, running all over people, sacks left and right, just, you know, blocking people to the end zone every single play. And so it wasn't competitive enough for him. And I'm not raising stars right now. I'm raising black men with strong work ethics, and that is going to chase the next level. I didn't want him to settle in a place where he was just going to be the star, because we're not chasing that right now. And so when the opportunity came to us, we definitely, because we wanted him to have a better opportunity at competition, and for him to work a little differently and not think that things are going to come that easy because he's big right now. Because TJ, you can testify that he came on, he was probably one of the biggest kids for the first 2 or 3 years, and now he's slimmed down so much that we're even not even, we have to consider the fact that he won't be a lineman when he gets to high school. He'll probably have to play linebacker or something else because he's slimming down so much that he may not fit that position. And so again, like, as he continues to develop, we're developing. So even his training is looking different now because, again, he's developing. And then I have a younger son who is exactly the opposite. He's one of the smallest kids on the team, fast, athletic, just all over the place with just energy galore. Same thing. We started off with flag football with him, let him develop that before we decided to put him in tackle. His journey was a little bit different because we already had the connection to the org. And so it made sense because he was ready and prepared, so he didn't have to go through county. But we didn't start by just throwing pads on him. He learned the fundamentals. He learned the basics of the game. And so when it was time to put on the pads, he understood the fundamentals to be able to keep himself safe and to execute in the way that is required for him to play the game.
That is That is good. Good. This is such a good conversation.
Thank you guys for listening to today's show. Please subscribe to our podcast On Everyone's Lips on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and other platforms where you may consume podcasts. Please give us a rating. 5-star ratings are very much appreciated, but all honest feedback is welcome. You can email us at contactoelpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on social media, Instagram at OEL Show, and on Facebook as On Everyone's Lips, and that's with an apostrophe S. Our website is OELShow.com, and our feedback hotline is 571-206-8292. There you can give us feedback on previous shows, and you can also do so anonymously. You can also give us show topic ideas on email as well, or on the feedback hotline.
Yes, thank you. Thank you to my panel. This has been great. And my takeaway is that, as we know, sports has a lot of life lessons, and it is awesome for kids to develop their life lesson skills, social skills, and also competitiveness. So this is just a great conversation, and I'm looking forward to part two. So until we meet again, live well, laugh often, and love much.